Oh, thou blessed rock of ages, trusting now, dear Lord, in thee. Keep me till thy journey's ended, till thy blessed face I see.
For those of you who are interested in the coronavirus, over the news late the last week, we found out that they're manipulating the numbers. So there's quite an investigation going on right now. Instead of 95% tested positive, it's 5%. In some cases. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be fun to watch as God destroys them that are destroying the earth. Hallelujah. They are destroying the earth. They're out to steal, kill, and to destroy. How many of you know what a one-world government would feel like? A new age, one world, globalist system. They are all going to be sitting ducks for the government to do with them what they will. But God is going to step in. The only one world government that'll ever exist in reality is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. That'll be fun. But strangely enough, even then he will have to rule with a rod of iron. That's how human nature is. They always want to rebel. They don't want to do what you're told. We got to do what we want to do. Anyway, that's what's happening right now, and we're going to see some interesting pedophiles being arrested, which is now happening. Unbelievable stuff coming to the front that I have been studying for the last 25 to 30 years. Now, finally, the Lord is just lifting the veil. Look at these guys. Look at that guy. How about Epstein's girlfriend? Is she going to commit suicide voluntarily? I don't know what's going to happen. They better keep their eyes on her this time and not shut off the cameras that are watching her in her cell. Because she's going to quickly decease. Anyway, that's the world system. How about we? Where do we stand with Christianity? Christianity has become a mixed pot, according to people. Everybody calls himself a Christian. What is true Christianity? True Christianity is you become a new creature in Christ. You have a total new DNA. Your attitudes change. Your mind changes. You do make disciples. The Bible teaches go baptize them, make disciples out of them. But you make disciples out of people that are willing, not those that don't. You don't make laws and rules for them. If they don't want to, then that's up to them. Because Christianity is something that you become overnight. It's not something that you slowly work into. And hopefully, as you get good enough, you become better and better and better. And then finally, you hit that sweet spot where you're a Christian. No, that's not how it works. You become a Christian when Jesus himself takes you from the powers of darkness, puts you into the kingdom of his dear son. He seals you and says, he or she is mine now for eternity. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's what the Bible teaches. I'm not giving you something new. That's been there since the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wrote it down. Even though preachers over the centuries have tried to manipulate and twist and make it work to their opinion, the Bible is clear. The man who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. He has a new DNA. In 1 Corinthians, there's an interesting scripture in verse 16. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So, if a person will love the Lord Jesus Christ, he will live for him, walk for him. Yes, he'll make mistakes, but you will live for him. You don't have to go after him with a whip. He'll automatically understand, I need to follow my Savior, my loved one. And if he doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say? Let him be damned. Maranatha, the Lord is coming back. So today I want to teach on Christianity, what it really is, what it means. But before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I ask you, Lord, that you will open people's hearts, those especially who are listening over the internet, that they will understand and see that you mean business when you cleanse somebody. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. When a person becomes a new creation, you have to understand that you have now become something different. And with that, something different becomes a new you, the way God looks at you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I will paraphrase this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are born again by the Spirit of God. Right? Interesting. There is no condemnation. You have been freed from the law of sin and death. The ordinances that were written against you were taken out of the way and nailed to the tree. Now they have absolutely no more power over you, for the Bible teaches us that Jesus destroyed sin in us. It's not we ourselves that have destroyed it by our good works, by our good intentions. It's Jesus who destroyed it. The Bible teaches us that Jesus did everything. We're his workmanship. He created us into what we are and made us what we are. It says in Romans chapter 8 in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Listen to this. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. What did it do? Condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? It condemned sin, made it useless, made it powerless. It can do nothing to you anymore. Its power was destroyed at the cross of Calvary, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Because sin was destroyed in us, the righteousness of the law demanded perfection, hallelujah. Then the righteousness of the law was fulfilled in us because sin had been destroyed in us. We have become perfect, so now we keep the law perfectly. I love this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, those who are born again by the Spirit of God. The next verse will really clarify this. See, that's what a lot of people who call themselves Christians miss. They don't understand how incredible God's power is when it comes to destroying the law, the deeds of the law in your flesh. But he did it by a sacrifice. I was watching this morning on how tempted Jesus was before he went to the cross. Yes, he was tempted to the point where he was sweating blood, and to the point where his natural being cried, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He took your sin and my sin upon himself. His flesh revolted, but his spirit said, no, we're going to go forward with this. We're going to do this for Dave, for James, for Kat, for all those who turned to him. And when he decided, I'm going to step forward and do this, then with joy, he went towards the cross because he saw what he was going to accomplish. And guess what he did? He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what we need? We were dead, but now we're righteous because of what Jesus did. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're not born again, you cannot please God. That's what this means, to be carnally minded, to be in the flesh. That means you haven't become a new creation. You're still operating in the flesh. Does that mean that we're going to be perfect? No, because we're still going to operate sometimes in the flesh, but that has been now eradicated from us. It is not accounted to us. We have been set free from the things that we do in the flesh because of the Spirit that has been placed within us. But it says those that are in the flesh, those that are not born again, they cannot please God. Can you imagine how many religious organizations without Jesus are trying to please God? And the Apostle Paul, what does he say? He says, I count that all as dung. Shall I paraphrase that one? No, I leave it to the King James Version. I count it all as dung, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So Paul made sure, but he was writing through the Holy Spirit. You got to understand this. Otherwise, if you don't understand it, you're not going to have freedom. Do you want freedom in your heart? Get to know who you are in Christ. Get that freedom. Find out who God made you when you became a Christian. Listen to Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, listen to this, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, He makes it very simple, very straightforward. You're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Very simple and straight. If you're a Christian, you're not in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, you're none of his. That's how the Bible teaches us these things. So, do you have Christ? If you do, you belong to God. You have become a new creation. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. The sin in your flesh has no more hold on you, no more power. There is something in the Bible that a lot of Christians and most Christians seem to not pay attention to. The sin that was in me and is in me has been rendered powerless. It cannot bring me down as far as my salvation is concerned. It can bring me down emotionally. It can maybe bring me down physically. But as far as my salvation is concerned, I am free. I'm flying. I'm out of its grasp, out of its reach. It cannot touch me anymore. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that took advantage of the grace of God. And guess what happened? They have to suffer the consequences, sicknesses, disease, and problems in their families, and all sorts of problems. But the Bible teaches he was still after my own heart. Talking about King David. He's still after my own heart. He still loves me. So King David, regardless how he sinned, he was still free from the law of sin. Hallelujah. And that was in the law. That wasn't done yet, but he was waiting for that sin to be destroyed. Romans chapter 7, I want to give you an example, and I studied this a little bit. It's in the same context, in the same verses. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosened from the law of her husband. Understand that one? So if then while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So he uses this example. We all understand it. If you go and commit adultery with another man while your husband lives, you're an adulteress. But something happens when the husband dies and she marries another, then she's free. Well, here's what happened to us. The old man died. Sin and law died. The law that we followed was killed. It died. Jesus took it out of the way and nailed it to the tree. Now we are married to Jesus. Now sin has no more effect on us. This is what it means. She is now no more an adulteress because she now is married to this other person. We are married now to Jesus Christ, who destroyed sin in the flesh. The sin that we used to do and are still doing, it has absolutely no dominion over us when it comes to our salvation. It's almost unbelievable, but that's what the Bible teaches us. And we need to go by the Bible and not what we think it should be. And that's the problem with many preachers. They think that is too easy. That is too easy. Then we can do it. Go and do whatever we want. What are you going to do if you love Jesus? You're going to follow him. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You're going to try and please him. That's the way I am. Of course I fail. Of course I sometimes misstep. I don't like myself for it. But I know in my heart that I'm still married to this Jesus, and he loves me immensely. Hallelujah. More than anything, he loves me. So I'm free from this old woman of sin and death. I am now married to life in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. Romans chapter 7 and verse 17. This is going to be a hard one for many people over the internet and maybe even here to grasp or to even believe, because somehow people don't understand true Christianity. Listen to verse 17. Now, if you sin, what if we sin? What if we fall into sin as Christians? We remember we're the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We're righteous because we have faith of what he did on the cross for us. We have become a new creation in Christ. We've been taken from the powers of darkness into the powers of God. And now, what if we sin? What if we fall in sin? Now it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I love this verse. It makes some people angry, but that's okay. I can do whatever I want. Is that the truth? Of course it is. But what are you going to do if you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to follow him. Oh, I can go and sin. I can go watch pornography. I can go commit adultery. I can do any of those things. No, you're not. If you're changed in your heart, you're not going to do those things, because there's a stop there. You know you shouldn't. Yes, you may fail, but you're going to hate yourself for it. It's not going to be something that you're going to run after. It says, now it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now it explains it. For I know that it's in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How many of us notice that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing? When you argue with your wife, you get angry. That's no good. When you argue with your husband and want to push your head through, that's no good. There should be harmony. There should be peace. When you figure out, okay, there's no cup out there, I'm just going to make sure I get there on time, and you zoom past the speed limit, no good in you. That evil thought that comes into your mind and you entertain it for a couple of minutes, no good in you. It says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It says here, I want to do good, but somehow I can't do it. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Is it possible for us to do that? Sometimes God may give us an impossible job or an impossible command. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then he adds insult to injury by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Incredible, incredible commandment. In me lieth no good thing. Because there's some neighbors I don't have no use for. But it says I need to love them. So, according to Scripture, I want to love them. I want to be at peace with them. So, what will I say? For to will is present within me. I love to. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Sorry. I love to love my neighbor. Or even some of my closer friends. I love to love them. I have to put on a show sometimes. But how to do it, it's hard. I can't do it. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. I have those strange evil thoughts. I don't like it, but I still do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is not more, no more I that do it, but who? Sin that dwells in me. Jesus is too good to us, it seems. He took away everything. He condemned sin in the flesh. He took it upon himself that even the sin that we perform, he simply set us free from it. Because if you want to appear before God, you have to be perfect, clean, and holy, without spot, without wrinkle. And the only way you can achieve that, this scripture has to kick in. Even the things that I don't want to do, if I do them, they're not accounted unto me. They were placed on Jesus Christ, who simply destroyed sin. He took the ordinances that were written against us. He took them and nailed them to the cross. And then he said, what? It is finished. Can we believe that? Can we accept that? If you can accept that in your heart, if you can accept that in your mind, you will become free to serve Jesus like you've never been free before. You will not care what other people think of you, because you know that God is completely satisfied with you. You know that he has cleansed you, and what he cleanses is clean. Hallelujah. He made me clean, and I am clean, regardless how it looks to you. I know in my heart what Jesus did, and let me tell you, I depend on that. This is why the Apostle Paul says, all these things that I did, I count them as dung, that I may know Jesus, because what Jesus did to me was satisfying to the Father. Romans chapter 7, now here's something that we still have to keep digesting. In verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, not mincing words again, the Holy Spirit puts it right there. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Sorry, that's how it is. The closer you come to God, the more you see your faults. You cannot run away from this. This is how we are. We're going to be sinners in the flesh until this flesh is taken away and put into the ground, or it is changed and we are taken into the kingdom of God. Until that happens, we're going to have this problem of serving the flesh and serving God. But by the grace of God, the Bible teaches us that serving the flesh doesn't account to you anymore. I took that out of the way and I nailed it to the cross. Now you're free to serve me with a clean and honest heart. So do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, if you don't, the Bible teaches us, let that person be accursed. So I'm not going to fight with nobody. You should do this or you should do that. I'm not going to make a law for you. You better walk the straight and narrow. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to walk according to how he teaches you. I may need to push you this side, to this side, or to that side once in a while, but that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. But giving you a law and trying to force you to do something, forget about it. You're looking at the wrong preacher. If you think I'm going to be there watching you, making sure you're doing right, you got somebody who's doing it far better than I do, and that's Jesus. And he sees every misconduct. He knows every thought of your heart. And he knows everything you're ever going to commit. So by the grace of God, that job has never been given to me. Like one preacher said, we just bring the fish to Jesus and he cleans them. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Is God cleaning you today? Is he working in you? When you look back when you became a Christian, has your attitude changed? Or you may have gone down strange paths every now and then, but he brings you back into the righteous track. Never, ever forget the simplicity of the cross of Christ, that you're saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. He paid for it on the cross. He sweat his blood. He went there and did it for us. He's the one that pleased the Father, not we. He pleased the Father for us. And I'm willing to take that gift. And let me tell you, that gift is the most precious thing that the universe, God, can ever give anybody. And we only have a short time. This time in our life is about this big compared to eternity. Eternity stretches out for ages and ages and eons of billions of years. We only have this much time. It's never coming back. Once we're out of this dispensation of time, we are where we are. The tree lies where it falls. So have you got Jesus today? If you don't, I urge you to come to him, for he will in no wise cast you out. For God is willing that none perish. The Bible teaches us very clearly, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say for God so loved the church, even though he loves it beyond your capacity to understand. He loves the church, but he also loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And then the Bible teaches, if you come to Jesus, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope, not maybe, not if, not but that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the Son of God. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon